Spotlight with Stacey Pinkerton.
Now we're going to go over to Los Angeles, and we're going to speak with Kurt Farquhar, who is a film composer, songwriter, producer, founder, CEO of True Music, and the prominent music licensing company. And he scored more primetime television series than any other African-American composer throughout his 30-year career. And in early 2018, Farquhar entered the superhero genre with the launch of CW's Black Lightning. He also composed a nice piece of music, which is from the movie 96 Minutes. I'm going to introduce that and then get Kurt on the line to discuss more. And that's How Did I Get Here, the beautiful sound of Kurt Farquhar. And Kurt, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
You are quite a busy man. You have quite a background. You have studied music everywhere. You started at the age of 8. This is what's unbelievable. You wrote your first symphony at the age of 12.
Yes, I did. Yeah, that was... I don't know how wonderful it was, but I did write my first one then, and I think one of the biggest things is that it once the first time you do that, you forever feel like I'm a writer. I can write. And from there on, I was writing every day. There hasn't been a single day since then that I wasn't writing.
But when you wrote this symphony, did you put it to paper then, or did you just play it and remember?
Yeah. No, in those days, everything I did, I put to paper, you know. These days, it's so fast-paced in the world of television that you don't always get a chance to put everything to paper, but in those days, everything I did would have been put to paper.
And still when you use paper.
Yeah.
You play how many instruments?
I play 20 instruments. I started out as a drummer, and I play all the single reed woodwind instruments, tenor and soprano, saxophone, clarinet, flute, piano, a little piano, bass, you know, so on and so forth, marimbas, vibes, xylophone, all of that.
And you are, I guess, probably the most thing that you find challenging at this moment is time, because you seem to be quite a busy man with not only having a family, but you are so involved in so many television series and films, and it just never stops.
Yeah, it's been pretty fortunate for me. I had my first breakout year about 27 years ago, and I've averaged around 5 or 6 series a year ever since then. Sometimes as many as 12 series in a year. I just this past year we did 5 different hour-long series and a couple of comedies and several movies. I was doing Black Lightning and The Quad and In Contempt. As a matter of fact, we're getting a Variety had a magazine had mentioned me as one of the composers worthy of getting an Emmy this year, and so the voting starts Monday. We're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, we're going to get a little bit to that later on. But you mentioned the fact that you have been doing this work on Black Lightning, which is a superhero genre. How does it feel? I mean, you must be a perfectionist, I assume.
Yeah, pretty much so. I think that all the people that work with me and my staff will say, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. I kind of gathered
probably
that.
Can't stop himself.
Apart from being a perfectionist, how does it feel to know that you actually create emotional moments? You are manipulating people's emotions.
Well, yeah. I mean, you get it. That's what our job description is. I mean, we tell people what to feel. I mean, I always explain it to people like this. A camera going down a dark hallway is not scary, but it's not scary until I start going. And at that point, you know, Pookie's about to get off.
Yes. The amazing thing about it is you don't even have to see these films. When you listen to the music, you can... You feel the emotion. Let me just play a little bit of, in the background, I'm going to play just so that people can get a feel of something that you've composed, and this is for the Black Lightning superhero film, because it is important to know that you do create the whole environment and let people feel. So I suppose I'm just running now. Is that what I'm doing, Kurt?
in this moment of one of the bad guys is coming in and he's attacking a kid's school, and they're just running around frantic trying to get away from him, and he's shooting poison darts at all of these different kids. It's like really exciting, really intense. He comes in and he jumps up to the second floor and he's hunting down all of these kids, just running after them, and they're frantically running, trying to get away. And it's interesting. I actually use this piece of music myself to, when I'm showing people examples of what I do, you know, and different, because this particular scene and this particular show is very heavily talking about African-American characters. And, you know, so we try to figure out other ways than just necessarily forcing a hip-hop beat on something to show that, okay, it's happening to black people. Well, just if you notice the rhythmic complexity of even the strings, which the rhythm and the broken melody portion of the string sections, that's all based on Miles Davis solos in late 70s, early 80s, you know, in his funk period. And so that's just another way of, like, achieving what we had to achieve for the picture, but also doing it in a way that feels, that feels oddly familiar to me, or in terms of the energy and the vibe, the feel of black music.
Yeah, well, you mentioned about hip-hop in the black community, but I don't understand why there is the stereotype of that anyway, but, you know, here I am living in Europe. I suppose that it's just completely...
Really, you're right. The truth is, African Americans, like everybody, listen to a whole wealth of music. I mean, I wrote my first symphony, as you said, when I was 12 years old. I studied in Versailles. But my favorite music is country and western.
I can't believe.
And I'm known for ushering in the urban style of scoring in television. So, you know, it's. We are not a monolith, you know. The people that they're not just sitting at home listening to the next J. Cole or Jay-Z or or whatever, you know. And that's wonderful too. I mean, I love all these guys and gals that are doing this amazing music. But people are influenced by a lot of different things. I'm influenced by jazz and hip hop and R&B and country and western. I love it all. I went through a period where all I listened to was music from India, you know. So that was in the early 70s. You couldn't have played anything else for me, you know. But there's a whole growth period that happens if you're a real musician. You're open to a lot of different things, and I think that people with now with the advent of the internet, that they at the push of a button with a device in their pocket, they can hear music from around the world. And so I don't think that anybody feels like they should be held back anymore. And they're indulging their own interests, you know. And you find that black people, we have very, really varied interests.
Well, we
try to show that in this show.
In that's why I love radio, because there is no color.
Yeah. Well, there's that.
There you go. You mentioned that you studied in France. Maybe this makes sense as to why this message came in. I decided tonight, this is live radio, but I'm not taking calls in during the interview, but people can send messages in. And I have a message that is to you, and it says, the Jolie and family tell Kurt to come and see them.
Oh, my goodness. That's my love. That's my family. That's my French family, the Jolies, René and Edmé Jolie, and the daughter, Françoise, and their son, Alain, was a dear, dear friend of mine, and he's the whole reason that I ever went to school in Europe, And they are the loves of my life. They're just really amazing. And soon, I'm trying to actually plan something now. I'm trying to get some time off and go see them soon.
there's more to the message. The other part is Angus is waiting.
Angus is a dear friend of mine. We both went to Europe together, and the Jolies were so instrumental in our lives and setting us up. I mean, if you could imagine that they didn't know me. Their son had gone to school at summer classes at Berkeley with me the year before, and they took me in like I was their own kid. And that, what an amazing, amazing thing. Now, Angus Thomas went on to play with Miles Davis and just tons of artists, and he lives in Europe right now. I believe Angus is living in Vienna and touring with
Philip Frankhauser.
His name is Philip. Yeah, Philip Frankhauser. Yeah. So that's our story. Oh my God, I love them. I love them. I love them. Just like my day, just to hear
Well, I thought you would enjoy that message, but really, this is a message that was special for you tonight. So now I know where it's coming from after you studying in France all these years. Anyhow, back to you. The Obamas apparently are going to be coming out with a series on Netflix. If they choose you to work with them, what would you recommend that they do?
What would I recommend that they do? You know something? Do something real, do something meaningful, which I don't think I have. They need me to tell them that. You know, I would love to be a part of something like that, just because I think that I would bring a special and very authentic energy to it, and I would love the opportunity to work with our former president.
Well, this was what brought me, and I thought of that question because after I heard the song Rise Up and regarding gun violence and everything that's happening in the United States, I assume that this is what this song is about.
Yes. That was written for a television show called The Quad, and it's produced by just a brilliant woman named by the name of Felicia Henderson. She wrote and produced The Quad, and this it's about a traditionally black college in the South, fictional traditional black college, and so they though they're showing college life and life in the South today, they actually key in on a lot of real life issues and things that are coming, that are in the news right now, like gang violence, like the difficulties of young African American men being able to walk the street and not be fearful of their lives with regards to their interactions with the police, you know, and I understand it from, you know, what I love about this show is they take on real issues like police violence, gang violence, the issues of young black men being actually fearful for their lives when they walk down the street. But I tell you, I don't know how one would be a police officer either without being a little bit fearful, you know, in the environment that's going on. Everybody's just really, really on edge. And I think what it's really going to take is more dialogue and honesty with people just stepping forward and really being honest about how they feel and honest about where they're coming from, because everybody's feelings are important. I was used to say that I had wished that the Black Lives Matter said, Black Lives Matter too, because it's all you know, all of us matter, and we just need to have more dialogue so that people are really, really, really hearing each other, you know, and knowing that to grow up as a black, especially a black male in America, these kids are scared to be out on the street with scared of the people that are there supposedly to protect them. And that's a really, really difficult thing to grasp, you know, unless you're living in that headspace. That's really complicated and difficult to wrap your mind around, that somebody is actually afraid of the police, even when they've done nothing wrong. I didn't have that as much growing up, but now it's like it's so rampant that it's one of the reasons why we need shows like this to bring some of these some of what people in the neighborhoods have known are going on, bring it to the forefront.
Well, we do talk about this often here in Europe. It's just something that we find that in America, people don't want to get involved or talk about. They're just afraid. I don't understand it. Europeans don't understand it. Everyone has a right to live peacefully and safely more than anything else. But why don't we start something, Kurt, where we get people to put down their guns and pick up musical instruments?
Hey, sounds good to me. I mean, I wish it were as simple as that, because I would be the first one saying, "Hey, let's go get some instruments," because it'd be definitely a better way to go than us killing ourselves, than being the targets for others. That's definitely a horrible, horrible, horrible direction to go in, you know. And, yeah, I want to see people just love each other and respect each other and grow to understand each other. That's what's important. That's what I think we're all looking for.
Yes, we are, and I'm very fortunate that now I live in a very peaceful country where there's hardly any crime, violence. I'm willing to work with you if anything we can come together and get going. You know the floor is yours. But what are you working on now, Kurt?
Well, I'm actually in the studio right now today working on a new film for Lionsgate that's starring Jay Farrell from Saturday Night Live. And it's a comedy, which is really great for me because I've been working on things like The Quad and Black Lightning, which are so dark and everything. I needed definitely something that just made me laugh for a second. So that's what I'm getting an opportunity to do.
That sounds excellent. And the song Rise Up, it's possibly an Emmy Award winner?
Well,
should we keep playing it?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. We're pushing. It's been put into contention for an Emmy, and the voting for the nominations starts in a few days on June 11th, and we're very excited about that. I think it's a very powerful song. It was written by myself and several of the cast members, Peyton Allen Smith, and getting into trouble with names, and Erica and Kaylin, and they're all just wonderful. Wonderful young people who had a lot of emotional and really they had such interesting insights to just the story matter that I thought they were just brilliant to write those lyrics and music co-written with me by Aidan Ali, and some really talented people came together to say something really, really important. And I was saying that before that we were all being led by Felicia Henderson, who's just, I think, one of the brilliant writers of her time. You know, she has writer-producers. She's really done some amazing work and led this show in just an amazing direction. And so we're looking to see if we might get some Emmy love on that, as well as the score for Black Lightning. I think we'll were pretty excited about that. And according to Variety, they think that I'm worthy of an Emmy for that score. So let's see if it happens.
I think you're worthy of it, too. And I appreciate the fact that you took the time out of your horrible life and in the dark room. And
yeah, well, thank you for taking the time to talk to me. You know, I appreciate it. Anyone showing interest in me and my music. And I mean, I really, really care about this. I'm just totally a music to pictures guy, whether it's television or film, you know, and we're generally in our dark rooms and never getting to see many people or whatever, but to get the chance to talk and shed some light on what it is that we do, it's very important to me. So thank you.
Even though Eric isn't with me anymore, I'm still fighting for him. I'm fighting for all mothers and fathers. I'm fighting for all our sons and daughters. We must rise up together.
Rise up, rise up. Hey,
yo, I'm a war, here we be. Yeah, we don't really like police. Y'all be criminals, twisted up individuals with the gun in the badge, claiming that you defending, huh? Protect and serve, please, I'm flicking the bird. Knowing damn well my president didn't swerve. We tried nearly, but y'all ain't heard me. And now I'm giving 7, Kaepernick jersey.
All my sisters and brothers.
That's more powerful than their hatred for us is our love for ourselves. That's why we must never give up.
The song I just played was Rise Up. He's working on Black Light. Black Lightning. Or is that first?
Which you can see in Europe on Netflix. So it's
okay, I'm going to have to get Netflix. You know, I too spend all my time in a studio, so I'm going to have to venture out and check all of these out. But the music is excellent, and I appreciate you joining me on the program. Thank you. All the best to you. Success. And don't forget to book your flight to France to see that Jolie family.
I will. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kurt. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye now.